What do Google, Craigslist, Wikipedia, Nirvana, Barack Obama, Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, being John Malkovich, and Pulp Fiction all have in common? Well, they're all products of Generation X, the same generation that was described in a Time magazine cover story in 1990 as lazy, passive, and possessing only a hazy sense of their own identity. Jeff Gordinier, an editor at Details, tackles the question of who Gen Xers really are in his book, X Saves the World, How Generation X Got the Shaft, But Can Still Keep Everything from Sucking. The book is published by Viking, and I'm very pleased that it brings Jeff to the show today. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I hope I pronounced your last name correctly. It could be Gordinier, is it?
It's actually Gordinier.
Gordinier. Okay, yeah. Well, there were three possibilities.
I like them all, though. I like all pronunciations.
Is Details, your magazine, another product of Gen X?
In some ways it is. It's a reflection of the Gen X sensibility, and it's sort of grown with my generation as well. I mean, you've done my work for me by listing all those people and those different accomplishments in American culture. Part of what I wanted to do with the book was to validate Generation X's contributions to American culture.
There's even a YouTube video about the book, and you say Gen Xers are doing the quiet work of keeping America from sucking.
That's true.
Sucking is the theme here. America would suck without Gen X.
Well, I think a lot of what Gen Xers are doing is preserving an aspect of the American spirit that I consider important, a sort of alternative counterpoint viewpoint. And you see that rising up through YouTube. You see that for instance, independent film. Gen Xers have contributed all sorts of great films to our national conversation, Lost in Translation, Being John Malkovich, Boogie Nights. And I guess I wanted to say, hey, look at us. We have something to be proud of.
The Gen Xers are the direct antecedents of the baby boomers, 1961 to 1977.
Well, you know, this is interesting. Nobody seems to know. I think it's telling that when you can ask one demographer and you ask another and you get different dates for when Generation X is actually defined. You might hear it's people born between 1963 and 1967. You might hear 1960 and 1980. In the book, I sort of settle on people born between 1960 and 1977, in part because Richard Linklater, who made the film Slacker, and Doug Copeland, who wrote the original Generation X novel, were both born in 1961. So it seemed to make sense. They sort of define the sensibility.
So that's how demographies are determined.
It's very unscientific. I mean, I think it's telling about Generation X that it's hard to even acknowledge where we start and where we end.
But there has to be a sense of a change in sensibility.
I think there is. I think you start to see that, you know, with people born in the early 60s. You start to see a different kind of attitude, more questioning, more ironic, more detached. I think that, you know, part of what I was trying to do with the book, I've noticed with Gen Xers, it serves as almost this mutant form of self-help. Like, they read it, and they seem to read it very quickly, I must say. I read it in 2 days, and it just made me feel so much better. Like, we really have accomplished some cool things. And
because they have felt the put down constantly, like that Time magazine thing?
It's more a degree of invisibility. I mean, the book emerged a couple of years ago. There was this period of just sort of media monotony about the boomers turning 60. I was just hearing about it everywhere. And you still see that with the Tom Brokaw book about the boomers. And that on the other, you know, we're sort of bookended on the other side by the millennials coming up. And everywhere you look, there was this sort of ruddedness about Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, Jessica Simpson, Britney Spears, and that sort of pop culture that defines that generation, whether they like it or not.
I'm sure somebody will be writing a book about the millennials somewhere down the line saying, hey, this is a bad rap that we've been getting.
I welcome
that. Don't blame us for Paris Hilton. But you say Gen Xers are the strange dark horse demographic because they've been contrasted with the boomers and the millennials. Is there another change? The boomers are called boomers because there was this incredible explosion after World War II. Was there suddenly a cutback in 1960 or so?
Yes, exactly.
Because of birth control?
Are
you the birth control generation?
It could be. I think that Gen Xers are definitely the product of divorce. There's that, and there's also the fact that we're post-Nixon, we're post-Vietnam. That, I think, informs our sensibility and gives us a certain skepticism. But the boomers were, exactly as you're saying, a boom. They were a giant. massive demographic moving through the system. And the millennials are the same. We're talking about, you know, this is very rough, but about 76 million people with each of them.
And the sense of those other generations are that they crave the limelight, while Gen Xers seem to prefer anonymity. But that doesn't really make sense when you look over the list of really prominent Gen Xers.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's
Barack Obama doesn't seem to be craving any anonymity.
No, exactly. He seems to be rising to the challenge now. And if you think about, you know, Larry Page and Sergey Brin, who are both Gen Xers, they've created Google, which is essentially, you know, one of the most important companies in the world right now. A lot of, you know, another company that I'd like to refer to is Meetup.com, which was started by Scott Heiferman and his partners. You hear boomers talk a lot about bringing people together, let's bring people together. But in fact, Meetup.com has accomplished that very thing. It's the site where, you know, if you have a common interest in Chihuahuas or Barack Obama or flossing your teeth or whatever it is, you can go on Meetup, find people who share that interest, and meet with them in a in the real world, and create a community that way. Now, I think Gen Xers are very, you know, skeptical about let's change the world, but in a strange way, we are.
There haven't been a lot of books, mostly magazine articles about Gen X. I guess your research, if you were looking for books, was Douglas Copeland's book, Generation X: Tales from an Accelerated Culture. Was that useful? Because that was written in 1991.
It was. You know, it's funny. I remember when that came out. I was unemployed. I was actually slacking. Not by choice, I should say. And I think this is an important thing to remember about that term, slacker, is that for a lot of us, we came out of college right after the 1987 stock market crash. And it was, you know, it was admittedly more difficult to find work. So we were hanging out in coffee houses, putting our, you know, hanging out in Kinko's, putting our resumes together. I remember when that Douglas Copeland book came out. Oh, my God. It just spoke to me. I was like, those are my people. I'm that. That's what I am. You know, for a lot of us, we weren't identified at that point. And I think that book stands the test of time. It's actually a work of fiction. And in the margins, there are these hilarious sociological observations, many of which remain true.
It's interesting that there was a review just recently of a movie that was described as a slacker movie, and they said, this is so passé. Mm. But that whole idea of these guys who don't work, who smoke a lot of dope, that is also the Gen X image, isn't it?
To some degree it is, but I don't know why that stays with us. You know, it's perplexing. I do think there's some truth in it that for economic reasons – a lot of Gen Xers did sort of float around. I, after college, I spent some time in Morocco and Europe. Then I worked at a newspaper in North Carolina. Then I went to Prague and hung out in Prague for a while. I mean, we did do things like that. Sometimes it was simply because it was difficult to find a job. Sometimes it was sort of it came out of our generational ethos. But it's interesting to look at the ways in which slacking may have contributed to our culture. I mean, a filmmaker like Richard Linklater comes out of Austin, Texas, sort of the ultimate slack magnet, and he's gone on to this incredible career as a filmmaker. School of Rock, Waking Life, you know, one great film after another, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset. He's become, you know, our true foe in a way. So is slacking a bad thing, or does it actually sort of lead to creative ferment?
My guest is Jeff Gordner.
Gordner. It's all good. I like them all.
His book, X Saves the World, is published by Viking. And this really grew out of an article you wrote for Details.
It did. I wrote an article for Details almost exactly 2 years ago. It came out in April 2006. This sometimes happens. You write something, you don't know if it's going to strike a chord. And boy, did it ever. It was one of these pieces that when I turned it in, people at the magazine, copy editors, you know, fact checkers, people I work with, saw it in the system and came over and thumbs up, shaking my hand. They're like, yeah, I'm glad somebody said that. I really, you know, God, it really spoke to me. And, you know, you can never see it coming. Then it came out and the people were blogging about it. The Washington Post wrote about it. I was surprised by the degree to which it caught fire.
But didn't you originally start writing that article under the assumption that Generation X hadn't accomplished all
that? That's right. In some ways,
you changed your own mind.
My thesis changed 180 degrees. When I first wrote the article, I mean, it was written in a matter of days on a very fast deadline. And my feeling at the time was we've been marginalized. We're just, you know, we're at the fringes of American culture now. We're invisible. And it was almost like a cri de coeur. It was this screed about, oh, what happened to us? where do we exist in American culture? But as I reported the book over the course of months, you know, more than a year after that, I went out and I spoke with different people, Cameron Sinclair, who runs an organization called Architecture for Humanity. I spoke with Scott Heiferman from Meetup.com, Majora Carter, who runs Sustainable South Bronx, and a guy named Fritz Haig out in California, who's behind this movement called Edible Estates, where he wants you to turn your front lawn into a garden. As I met with these people, shared, you know, we'd have casual conversations, just trying to figure out where our generation stood. I found my opinions changing. I mean, I became much more of an optimist.
To the point where you've given your book the title X Saves the World.
That's, yeah, exactly. And I mean,
it's a
that's
far
meant
cry
ironically.
From, you know, we really haven't done much.
I mean, I do think there are Xers saving the world, often in a sort of under the radar way. On the other hand, I'm going to be honest, the title of the book is ironic. It's meant as sort of a joke on our slackerishness.
I always wondered about giving generations a personality. I know a lot of people have described Gen X as having the quality of the middle child, detached, skeptical, quiet, questioning, concerned with improvement of the economy, but not people who are likely to brag like boomers or millennials.
Right.
Is that, can a whole bunch of people actually share that?
This is a great question. I mean, the idea of, you know, do we share certain traits because we were born at a certain time?
It's like
period.
When women ask me, why do men do that?
But men do
some men
things.
Do that, you know, and some men don't do that.
Well, think about it, though. The way we grow up is we're marinating in media, and that media affects us. And like, you know, things like, you know, if you grew up in the shadow of the Vietnam War and Watergate, you know, and you grew up with certain sitcoms, you grew up with a certain kind of, you know, newsreel that's inflicted on you about boomer culture. You know, these are the things we accomplished. Look at what we did. And you know, that
when I was a kid, son.
Yeah, exactly. We protested. We marched in the streets. We changed the world, boy. Don't you understand? You know, you grow up with that, and then you have a reflex against it.
That's why Gen Xers are not protesting the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think the way that a lot of Xers register their dissent is through irony. They use the skills they've been given, in a sense. They use, a great example. I mean, these are, you know, I think important figures in American life right now are Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. I mean, they have changed the way we look at American politics. They're also hilarious. And I think they embody this X spirit.
But also, you say here that Gen Xers aren't joiners. They don't like to think of themselves as a we.
Yeah.
And if you're going to get together and go on a protest march, you definitely have to think of yourself as a we.
That's true. That's sort of a hurdle that it would be interesting if we got over that hurdle. I've noticed that with the book itself. When I've given it to friends who are Xers, I've given the galley of the book to them. Oh, I'm not really an Xer, man. I'm like 37 years old, so I think I might be a boomer. You're like, no, man, you're not a boomer. Trust me. And when they read it, I find that they reflexively identify with it, and they're like, my gosh, that you know, that's me.
Although your Xers aren't necessarily changing the world or saving the world in the ways that we think of saving the world, they sure have changed the world the way it does business. Amazon, Google, Wikipedia, MySpace, they've all altered the face of global media.
Absolutely. I mean, the way we consume media, the way we buy things, the way we watch things, the way we find each other. All of these things have changed over the past decade in pretty drastic ways. I mean, imagine your life now without Google or, you know, without Amazon.com or without, I mean, it's pretty fascinating. And this is, there's no way to get around it. Xers have created these companies.
What about the differences between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton? Do you think that they are good representatives of their generations?
Oh, I think so. I think in very clear ways. I mean, some of the statistics I've come across show that there's a certain age, there's a certain year in which you were born. And if you're on one side of it, you're voting for Hillary. And if you're on the other side, you're probably voting for Barack. There's actually, you know, I mean, people who are Xers or millennials really are drawn to Barack Obama. Now, one of the things I think that's brilliant about Barack Obama is everyone can claim him. You know, he's like boomers sort of claim him because they think he's a young boomer. Xers think he's an older Xer. And millennials say, well, he's us because he embodies our sensibility. It's sort of the brilliance is, you know, to speak to everyone. But I think if you read Dreams from My Father, his first book, which is a fascinating book, there are certain scenes in which he expresses his skepticism about old modes of protest, his sort of punk rock resistance to the ways of the past. And it's pretty telling. I really felt in reading that book that there was a sort of companion spirit going on there.
You mentioned one of the things that seems to motivate Gen Xers is that they are tired of hearing the mythology of the previous generation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think part of what I was doing in the book was to channel our anxieties about that, to tap into it. It's not so much, you know, hating the boomers or their accomplishments, which are in many ways incredible accomplishments. It's more, do we need to hear about them all the time? Do I need to pass a store window and see a display for 1968 again? I mean,
but conservatives will tell you that they are the inheritors of the legacy of the 60s, the 60s being 65 to 75 or so.
Right, right. That conservatives
Because they grew up at the time when the 60s were really the 60s.
Right. And in some ways, the failings, the excesses of the 60s led to the conservative movement.
Were you aware of all of those things? Were you committed to, were you thinking much about the Vietnam War when you were a kid?
All I know is I remember footage. You know, for better or worse, my father had the television on all the time. And I remember footage of Watergate. And I remember footage of, I remember the body counts from Vietnam. Now, I don't know, I have children now, 5 and 2 years old. And I can imagine that that creates an imprint on you, you know, to grow up with that. I mean, it instantly creates an environment of questioning. I remember talking to my father about, are we winning that war? He was like, we win all wars. My father's a Republican and very patriotic, and we win all wars. And I was like, well, I don't, but it doesn't look like we are.
Well, boomers have been critical of Gen Xers. Gen Xers seem to be critical of millennials.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the millennials and Britney Spears will have something to say about the next generation.
Yeah, my kids will inflict themselves upon the millennials eventually.
You may want to go see Jeff Gordinier, G-O-R-D-I-N-I-E-R. He'll be giving a talk and signing books tonight at 7 o'clock at the Tribeca Barnes & Noble store in Warren Street in Greenwich Village. When you do these readings, when you go before the public, do you find that most of the people who show up are Gen Xers?
Well, this is actually the first reading I'm doing for this book tonight, so
you have no idea. But what about the people who responded to the article in detail? Did they tend all to say, well, I was born in 1964, so I am.
It does speak to Xers in particular, I find. And oddly enough, I mean, much of the book is humor writing. Much of it is hyperbolic and meant to have fun with these different generational divides. But I find that boomers, I'm going to be honest, they do take offense. Like they take their legacy very seriously, and it shan't be mocked.
Yeah, they have
which
no
is part of the fun.
Of course, they can't claim to have done much to create the blogosphere as we know it. This is definitely a Gen X creation.
Sure.
X Saves the World is published by Viking. Thank you so much, Jeff, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.